This episode is supported by EarnIn. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn now can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Super, super easy to use. You just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. So the app is free. You can leave a tip if you want. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So here's the thing. Sometimes getting close to your next paycheck, next pay period, and you realize, oh gosh, like paycheck doesn't come until next Friday, but we have this event that we need to attend this weekend and we need money for it. Or we have to buy a gift for someone. Or, oh my gosh, like my kid tore through their shoes and now we have to buy new shoes this weekend and the money's not in the bank yet. So EarnIn can help you access the money you've already earned at work by giving you this little bit of money in advance. So make EarnIn part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security, and it gives me a lot of peace of mind. So for our listeners, all you need to do is download EarnIn today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, and you can download it in Google Play or the Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Shameless Mom under podcast when you sign up. So there'll be a little place where you can, where it says, what podcast did you hear about them on? Type in Shameless Mom under podcast. This helps show support for our show and our advertisers. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, and subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 868. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 868. In this greatest hits episode, we talk about one of my favorite subjects, mom guilt. So buckle up and let's dig in. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms stories, tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more powerful, positive, and purposeful lives every damn day. So let's dive in. And now I want to dive into our content today, which is kind of just perfectly segues from what we were already talking about. I want to talk about mom guilt. And I think mom guilt is a lie. And this is so interesting. I was thinking about this, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago while I was running. And the funny thing is, as soon as I started thinking this through, and this happens often to me, where I'll think something through on a run or out on a walk or something and be like, oh my gosh, I have to like do an episode about this. It's going to be so great. And I get super fired up about it. And then I start seeing supporting evidence and data like everywhere in the world. So what happened is I thought of this while I was running. I was thinking about mom guilt. I don't remember what spurred that on, but anyways, I was thinking about it and I was thinking through like mom guilt is a lie and it's a big myth and it's basically like the social construct. So I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But what's funny is that after I had this thought and like kind of created in my head like this huge argument around it, I started seeing other stuff that was like totally in agreement with it in multiple places. And so I started seeing more women online making conversation around mom guilt, making conversation around the struggle for women to find balance in the world because of the extreme expectations put on them and the evolution of women's roles in the last like 50 years and how the expectations on women have never been greater. And that's why we all feel like it's really hard because it is. We have never been expected to do so much. And at the same time, we've also never had as many opportunities. So this is really interesting because with the dawn of so many new opportunities for women, not saying that everything's equal because it's not, there's not total equity for women at this point, but there have been many more opportunities over the last 50 years. And with the growth and opportunity for women, there's been no shift in expectation around other people to take things off their plate. It's just been like, yes, women, you can do it all. You can just keep piling it on, go for the gold. But no one is like, oh, hey, like, how about since we're going to say we like now culturally agree that women are qualified to be CEOs, for example, then we're not going to say like, since we now recognize this, how about we offer in-office childcare, like in most corporations or corporations of certain sizes, so that women who are CEOs could nurse on site, like things like that. Like, this just doesn't happen. It's like, yes, mama, you can be a CEO, but you're going to have to pump like 13 times today between board meetings. And you might like have your boobs like leaking and bleeding on the table. That might be super embarrassing, but you can do it. Like, that's literally like what we've set up for ourselves. And because we're still in a male dominated world, this is what the men have set up for us. So thank you guys. Well, we appreciate the opportunity. And also, could we try a little harder? So, and I don't mean for this to be like a super sexist conversation at all. I just think it'll be really eye opening. I do want to bring light to, again, like the funny timing. I was thinking this episode through, and a woman who was already on my radar to try to get on the show, Tiffany Dufu, who I have not reached out to yet. She's like high priority for me. By the time this goes live, I will have reached out to her and hopefully have her booked on the show. But she wrote a book called Drop the Ball, and her book and her influence was already on my radar. But what was funny is the other morning, I'm like thinking through this episode, and I was working out, and I turned on Kate Northup's podcast called The Kate and Mike Show. Kate's going to be on the show shortly. And she was interviewing Tiffany. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing, because I want to get Tiffany on the show. Kate's going to be on my show. It's already booked. Like, this is going to be great to hear them have this conversation. And Tiffany's whole book is around this whole evolution of roles of women and what that means in terms of opportunity, and also what it means in terms of challenges. And Tiffany definitely went through this on her own. So I just started reading her book called Drop the Ball. It is an excellent resource. I'm like completely blown away. Every page, I literally, the first few pages, I wasn't highlighting anything. And I was like, hold on, this is too good to not like have a pen. So then I went and got a pen, and then I was underlining like every sentence. So it's that kind of book. It's a great, great book. The foreword's by Gloria Steinem, also just total fire. So great resource. I'll definitely link to that in the show notes. This episode is supported by Air Doctor. You probably don't know that Americans take in about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. The indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause upper respiratory symptoms like sneezing, coughing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. I am so excited that we just got our own Air Doctor for our house, and we will have it all up and running and ready to go in time for all the things that come with spring weather, but also smoke season, which is just around the corner for those of us in the Pacific Northwest. And I know many of you across the country. So here's how you can get your own Air Doctor. First of all, Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SHAMELESS, and you'll receive up to $300 off of air purifiers. Exclusive to our podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro, airdoctorpro.com, and use the promo code SHAMELESS. That's airdoctorpro.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. Okay, so now let's dive into why mom guilt is a lie and a myth. I believe that mom guilt is a social construct in which women are programmed and indoctrinated to think that they should feel bad for ever prioritizing themselves, their identity, their careers, or their happiness over that of their kids. So I'm going to say that again, because I think there's a few pieces in there that are worth like processing. Mom guilt is a social construct in which women are programmed and indoctrinated to think that they should feel bad for ever prioritizing themselves, their identity, their careers, and their happiness over that of their kids. I believe that mom guilt is a programmed, culturally indoctrinated concept and construct. And now this is not to say that the guilt that you feel is not legitimate. It's absolutely legitimate. But I also think that we are set up to feel guilty. We're told that we should feel certain ways about certain things. We're told that we should feel bad because we want to have a career while we have young kids. Men are not told that. Like, dads don't have dad guilt. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't exceptions to any of these generalizations, but for the most part, dads don't have dad guilt because they're not told that they should feel guilty for prioritizing a career over spending time with their kids. They're indoctrinated to think that they should be providers. So dads probably have more guilt around, like, if they can't provide for their family, if their income level isn't high enough. That's where their guilt might come in, or where their discomfort might come in. But for moms, mom's guilt, we've been programmed to believe that we should feel bad if we prioritize a career over our kids. We've also been programmed or indoctrinated to feel bad for sending our kids to childcare so we can take care of ourselves. So I know that I have a few moms in different groups that I've been in Momentum Mamas, and even on our public Facebook group over at Shameless Mom, hashtag every damn day. And there's moms who say, like, yeah, my child goes to childcare on Monday and I don't on Mondays and I don't work. That's just a day for me to take care of myself, run errands, go get a massage. Like, that's my self-care day. And when I hear this, I am like jumping for joy because I think it's so, so necessary. And I do not think this is indulgent. But I know that many people would read a comment or a post like that and think, like, wow, that must be really awesome. And some people might like just fully be jealous, like, wow, must be nice. What must be nice that you get your self-care day every week. But other women are just thinking, like, holy cow, like, that's amazing. And that's how it should be, right? We should be able to send our children to childcare and go get a massage without feeling bad about it. Instead of thinking, well, it's Mondays and I'm not working, so I should definitely stay home with them and have quality time all day. Another thing that I see come up a lot with moms and mom guilt is that whenever you are home with your kids, whether you're working or not, so this might be on the weekends, it might be if you're a stay-at-home mom, but whatever context that you're home with your kids, that you should be always engaging and playing with them. And so I know there's a lot of mom guilt around, like, I don't like playing Star Wars with my kid. I don't like doing puzzles. I don't like playing Legos. I don't like video games. I don't like coloring. I don't like playing pretend. I don't like reading books, like whatever the thing is. I don't like playing Barbies. I don't like playing My Little Ponies. So there's mom guilt around that. There's mom guilt around the fact that, like, I don't want to sit on the floor and play pretend. I don't want to play with my kid all the time. I only want to do it for like 5 minutes and let that be enough for the day. And so, again, this idea that women should have that kind of role, because I don't think there's dad guilt. I don't think dads come home and feel bad for not getting on the floor and playing with their kids, because that's not the cultural programming, right? So we're trained that if you go after a big career, you might miss your baby's first steps. And oh, that would be heartbreaking. Or if you chase your dreams, you can't prioritize your family at the same time. You have to pick one or the other. Or you might go on a work trip and that would probably be okay, but you're going to be worrying about your baby the whole time that you're gone. You're trained to think that if you build a career, your kids aren't going to remember you being around when they were little. So you can see that, like, all of these things are super conflicting, right? Where you just start to think, well, maybe I should wait. Maybe I should wait to build my career. Maybe I should wait to chase the dream. Maybe I shouldn't go on the work trip. Maybe I should, you know, this opportunity that's right in front of me, it's great, but I'm going to put it off. And I've seen women go through this. I've seen people really close to me go through, like, giving the biggest career opportunity of their life when they have two little tiny kids. And they're like, holy cow, what do I do with this decision? And I've seen women make that decision, and I've seen how hard it can be and how grueling it can be. And I've also seen it done in ways that there's a lot of equity between partners and it works out really well. I've also seen it being done in ways where it's just a ton of stress because the mom takes on this career opportunity of a lifetime and continues to feel like she needs to fill all these other roles that she's been indoctrinated to think are quote unquote mom roles. And she's just burning the candle at both ends for years on end. So, and the other examples of those where there's more equity in the relationship, it looks really interesting because it looks very non-traditional. So I'm thinking of a couple situations where I know that like the dads in these situations do 50%, if not more. Actually, the two that I'm thinking of right now, the dads do probably 50 to 70% of the child care stuff. And sometimes I watch, I'm like, this is mind blowing. Like, this is amazing. This is so cool, right? But that also didn't come easily. That came with like a ton of work in the relationship to figure out whose role is what and what matters and what are we going to prioritize? And if you're going for your big career move right now, what does that mean for the other partner? And so there was a lot of compromise that came around that, which is great, right? Like compromise, communication, all those things. Really, really positive. So you have to be willing to recognize that you can work through the guilt and reprogram yourself, but it's probably going to involve reprogramming your beliefs and constructs around equity in your partnership and equity in gender roles, which is a whole big thing that some of us don't recognize plays a much bigger role than we might think in our relationships. I remember my husband saying to me one time, and I maybe have used this as an example before, but my mom, whenever she comes to visit, like my mom loves to make a casserole, and my husband, and she, like anything for her, she loves casseroles that have like cream of mushroom soup. That's like always the basis, like some sort of cream of mushroom soup. And then like, I don't even know what else is in them. She honestly, she hasn't made them very much for us because I'm not a huge fan of casseroles with cream of mushroom soup as a base. But my husband, like tuna noodle casserole would be like the perfect example. So my husband is like, your mom always wants to make us casseroles. Why don't you ever make casseroles? And I was like, oh my gosh, in my mind, I have the biggest mental block around making a casserole. You will never catch me making a casserole in my life because in my mind, making casseroles is like embracing being like a 1950s wife where like the partner has, where you're just like succumbing to your partner's expectations of what an ideal marriage or relationship should look like. And so I'm like, yeah, you're only ever going to get a casserole from my mom. Like, I don't do that. It's just like a total trigger for me. So I think it's interesting, but from my husband's perspective, he was born in 1966, so he's 9 years older than me. He was raised on casseroles. For him, that's just like this like heartwarming, like it's like a big act of service and generosity if someone wants to make him a casserole because his mom made him casseroles. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not here to be your mom. That's not my role in this household. Like, I will make dinner. I'll complain about it a lot. I will make a lot of dinners, but I'm not making you a casserole because I'm not here to be your servant. If you want a casserole, go make your own damn casserole. So a lot of this is recognizing gender roles and recognizing the constructs in which you've been raised and the constructs in which you've been indoctrinated. So here's a couple other pieces of mom guilt, some other indoctrination. Ideas around what good moms do. Good moms volunteer in your kid's classroom. Good moms are on the PTA. Good moms put dinner on the table every night. Good moms fold all the laundry. Good moms put the kids to bed every night. Good moms don't need to hire help. And even taking this a little further into moms who are primarily at home. So stay-at-home moms don't need childcare, or stay-at-home moms should know that it's their main job to take care of the kids and be responsible for their kids' well-being. That should be the priority, right? Or it's a stay-at-home mom's or the at-home mom's job to make dinner, keep the house clean, and make sure that the kids don't have dirt, any dirt on them. So this, I would say, this one in particular, I wanted to clarify because I don't think this only falls on stay-at-home moms. I also think that working from home moms, which is more and more common, and I fall into that category, there's a lot of expectations on work from home moms. Well, you're home all day. How did you not do the laundry and clean the house and make the dinner before 5 o'clock? Because you've been home all day. My husband, like there's times I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I didn't stand up for 8 hours. I sat at my desk for 8 hours, did not even stand up to pee. I like had a crumb of a bar that was left from 3 days ago. That was lunch. So, and my husband used to work from home, so he totally gets it. So he does well with his expectations around this, but we have these ideas and expectations around what someone should be able to accomplish because they happen to be in a house during the day. And those often, again, are very indoctrinated things. So I want you to now think about, where do you feel guilt And why do you feel that guilt? Because I'm not denying that you might feel bad about some things. I'm not denying that you might feel bad. Like, I mean, if you missed your kid's first steps because you were on a work trip, of course you're going to have a ton of emotion around that. That makes sense. Totally fine. But also, what are your influences that you're letting build the constructs in your minds? And what are your influences that you are allowing into your thoughts that are keeping you stuck in these thought patterns around guilt? Because I think that's a lot of it, being stuck in thought patterns. Rachel Hollis says there's a special brand of oppression found inside mommy guilt. And I absolutely agree with that, that there is this oppression of mommy guilt and that we internalize it and we hold on to it and we don't talk about it a ton. And I would say even for me, like I for a long time was like, I don't really have mom guilt. Like I've gotten over that. And the truth is that that's not true. I have phases where I don't have mom guilt. And then I have other phases where I do. And I think it depends on where your kid is at, where they're at developmentally, where they're at emotionally. There's going to be days where you're like, we're all good. And then there's other days where you're just going to be like, I didn't show up. I completely failed. And so I think that we have to acknowledge that the guilt is real, but it's because of a social construct. It's because we've been trained to believe that things should look a certain way and that the division of labor should be broken down a certain way in households and that a career path should look a certain way. And that if we're going to go for it in our career at the expense of time with our family, we are told that we should be constantly missing our kids and we should be constantly like acutely aware of every single thing that we're missing. And men are not trained that way. Like men are not trained if they are gone on a business trip for 3 days to sit in their hotel room and feel weepy the whole time. Whereas women are. Women are asked, women who travel a lot for work, people will say, oh my gosh, how do you do it? How do you juggle that all? No one ever says that to a guy. People don't ask men, how do you do it all? How do you juggle? How do you travel 3 days a week? Oh my gosh, don't you miss your kids? Don't you miss the... No, like men are trained. And I mean, there's something to be said for men are trained to not be nearly as emotional about things, but men are not trained to feel guilty around prioritizing a career over family. And so I want you to think about where do you let your thoughts come in and get the best of you? Because here's the thing. Here's what I've noticed. The first time I traveled without Vinny, I was like losing my mind. I was so freaked out about going. And the whole week in advance, and I've heard other moms talk about this too. So the whole week in advance, I was like, I probably should just cancel this trip. Like, I don't even need to go. It's not that big of a deal. I should just stay home. It's way too, the planning involved is like crippling the first couple times you leave a kid anyways. So I was like, it's just easier if I don't even go. I was completely freaking out. And I was like, I'm going to be crying the whole way to the airport. On the plane, I'm going to be like a nervous wreck the whole time. What if the plane crashes? I mean, it was everything. I was worried about every step of it. And what's interesting is I got to the airport and got on the plane and I was like, I'm actually totally fine. Completely fine. This is going to be great. And then while I was gone, yes, I missed him, but I honestly didn't think about him the whole entire. I mean, I thought about him at certain intervals, but he wasn't like constantly on my mind. And I really thought that he would be. And now when I travel, there'll be times when I'll go like 24 hours and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about my family for 24 whole hours. Like, am I an awful person? And I'm like, no, because it's okay to be completely absorbed in another situation or circumstance. That's okay. So there's times when I travel now and I'm like, oh, we haven't FaceTimed in like a day and a half. Maybe we should do that. It's okay to be focused on something else. It's okay to let your mind go so that you can be fully involved and invested in another area of your life and not just thinking about being a mom and not letting that be your primary identity at all times. I think a lot of this does also come down to identity. And so what is your identity? I know that one of the things I love about Rachel Rogers, my coach. So Rachel Rogers, when she talks about her identity, she identifies herself first as a woman of color. Secondly, like as a woman who helps other women build, scale their businesses from 6 to 7 figures. And then as a wife, and then as a mom of 4 kids. And like, but she has it kind of prioritized. And I don't know if that's her exact order, but I know that her first piece of her identity that she addresses in her bio is that she is first and foremost a woman of color. And that for her, that's her most significant identifier, not being a mom. So that's not to say that that needs to be what, you know, the same for everyone. Maybe being a mom is your first identifier and the first thing that you embrace about your identity. And that's also totally fine, but it's okay if it's not. And I've been actually thinking about this a lot lately. Like, is my, the biggest piece of my identity and the biggest legacy that I'm going to leave wrapped around being a mom? It will be a big part of, or it is a big part of my legacy. It is a big part of my identity, but is that the number one thing? That doesn't mean that I don't love my kid or that I put my kid behind other things. It just means that it's okay for my identity to have multiple components and for those components to carry equal weight, or maybe other things to carry greater weight than motherhood or parenting. That's okay. And some people are going to think that sounds super controversial and really, like, I don't know, unethical and gross. And you can think that, that's fine. I understand that that's not going to be everyone's jam, but I'm not less of a mom for prioritizing a career over motherhood. I'm not less of a mom for saying that my identity starts with being an entrepreneur who supports other and champions other women to help them build their identity and have massive impact in the world. Like, if that's my biggest piece of my identity, that's okay. And that can be my identity over being Vinny's mom. And that doesn't make me less of a mom, and that doesn't make me worse of a mom. And that certainly doesn't mean that my kid is suffering in any way. So I think that it's really important to look at these components of identity while you're thinking about how you let mom guilt get in your way, essentially. So here's why this social construct is so dangerous. Because when we give into this social construct, and when we believe in this social construct, and when we feel victimized by the social construct, which many of us are victimized by it, it leads to a breakdown in mental health. If you are constantly consumed by guilt or self-doubt or even a lack of self-compassion because of the way that you're trying to juggle so many things, it will lead to a breakdown in your mental health, which will lead to depression, anxiety, isolation, and loneliness. Because that's what happens when you internalize outside messages and you listen to them over and over again. It only can lead to depression, anxiety, isolation, and loneliness. So you have to take it really, really seriously. If you're someone who finds yourself sitting in mom guilt a lot, you have to look at, what is that doing to you? What is that doing to your mental health? Because it's not helping it. This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder, so if you are a heavy shedder, or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself, and I know multiple other people who've used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house, to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing, I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now, and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code Shameless at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the code Shameless, S-H-A-M-E-L-E-S-S. AquaTrue.com, code Shameless. Guilt is not productive. Guilt keeps you stuck. So you have to look at what is productive. If you are letting yourself be consumed by mom guilt and by the myth of mom guilt and the lie of mom guilt as it relates to this conversation and as it relates to it being a social construct, look at the cost that it's having on your life and look at the cost that it's having on your mental health. If you are letting yourself be consumed by mom guilt, as I've laid it out, as a social construct, then you're keeping yourself stuck in a story and stuck in a lie and stuck in a myth that is ultimately going to break down your own mental health. It's going to compromise your worth and it's going to compromise your value for yourself and for those around you. Like, there's no way around it. Another piece of this is, I got this from an article from Today's Parent that says, research has shown that feeling guilty doesn't reform our future behavior. Rather, it gives power to the part of the brain that seeks gratification. So I think that's really powerful as well. So guilt is not productive, and nor does it change our future behavior. So like I said, it keeps us totally stuck. It gives power to the part of the brain that seeks gratification. So when you let yourself stay stuck in guilt, you find messages to reinforce that guilt. You will find all the things that you're missing. If you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have taken that promotion because now I'm missing all this stuff at home, all you're going to do is see the stuff that you're missing. You're not going to see, my kid is seeing me be strong. You're not going to see that, like, I get home in time to eat dinner every night, or I get home in time for a bath and bedtime. You're not going to see the quality time that you're having with your kid. You're not going to see the opportunities for quality time that you have with your kid. Instead, you're only going to see what you're missing out on. And that's just going to take up more and more space and get bigger and bigger in your head. So when I look at my friends who are the primary breadwinners in the family, or who've decided to really go for their big corporate dreams or big career dreams, I shouldn't say corporate because it's not all corporate, but going for their big career dreams while they have really little kids, they don't give light to being stuck in what they're missing out on. Do they recognize it from time to time? Absolutely. Do they like take that on? No. They have to keep looking at, what are they doing? Why are they doing it? And what are the truths around their relationships with others? And what is their truth around their own worth and their own value? So let's talk about how to get over mom guilt then. I want you to think about four different pieces here. So the first is recognizing the patriarchy for what it is, recognizing the social construct that is mom guilt, and acknowledging that that's what it is. So the next time you feel bad, recognizing like, wow, I feel really bad because I just, you know, prioritized something over my child, whether it was going to get a massage, taking a nap, like, you know, saying no when my kid wanted to play, going for a career move or a promotion, going back to school, deciding to work late every Tuesday and Thursday, like whatever the thing, recognizing that when you feel those twinges of guilt around it, that that is the social construct, that is the indoctrination, and that is the patriarchy telling you how you should feel. That doesn't mean that those feelings aren't real. They are, but you have to recognize where they're coming from. They're coming from this indoctrination. So then the next piece of that, the second piece here, how to get over mom guilt, the second piece is to know your worth. So as soon as you feel those feelings coming in, you check in with your own worth. And this is where a personal development practice is going to be really, really key if this is a big struggle for you, because a lot of you don't know your worth. And a lot of you will just get stuck in the cultural programming around this and in the indoctrination and not be able to find your way out. So you have to be practicing personal development to recognize all the ways that you're strong and powerful, to recognize how you can constantly be bettering your game. Now, I know some of you are going to be like, cool, so now I have to like practice personal development and all this time that I don't have. All that means is that you like listen to the Shameless Mom Academy a couple times a week, that maybe you also have a couple audiobooks that you have on in the car when you're driving. or when you're making dinner, or when you're folding laundry. Maybe you read for 10 minutes at night. Maybe you journal or meditate for a few minutes in the morning. It can be little doses of things, but you have to be practicing this personal development, because that journey of personal development is the journey that will allow you to stay in your worth and the journey that will allow you to know your worth. And if you're not practicing that, if you're not actively working into that and leaning into that, you will find yourself going the other direction, in the direction of giving power to the part of your brain that seeks immediate gratification through recognizing this construct of guilt that you have had for a really long time, possibly that was modeled by your family and that you've just blindly adopted, as many of us do between generations, adopting family patterns, family belief systems, cultural belief systems without questioning them. The third piece of this is know your why. So you have to know your why. I'm really clear on the value of my why. So my why, serving women, helping other women recognize their impact and their identity in the world, is hugely significant to me. That gets me so excited. It gets me up every single morning, like ready to go. That's a huge part of my why. Another part of my why is that I adore my child. Like, I can barely talk about him without crying sometimes. So he means everything to me. And part of that relationship for me, part of the value of that relationship, is for him to see what a woman can do and for him to have a different experience with gender roles than my husband and I had in our families. For him to see gender in a different way, in a more progressive way. This is why my child wore tutus to school for months on end when he was three. You want to wear your tutu, you wear it for as long as you want. You want to wear the pink sparkly headband, go for it. So knowing my why makes it simple and clear to get over the guilt. When I say yes to a trip, like, I mean, coming up in May and June, I have a ridiculous amount of travel. If you're following me on social media, this will be interesting. Just like check yourself. If you're following me on social media and you're like, interesting. Is she even like taking care of her kid at all for the next 2 months? Because hardly is the answer. Hardly. I have a lot of travel. Some of it is family travel. So that will be, you know, obviously I'll be parenting there. But I have a lot of work travel and actually some social travel that's just me with other groups of women during that time. And saying yes to some of those things, I had to give a lot of thought to it and I had to get clear on my why. And my why, knowing my why, made it clear as to why I needed to prioritize these trips and why they needed to happen, even though they're in really close proximity to each other, even though the timing is not awesome, even though it means that like my husband is going to be solo parenting more often or more frequently than either of us would prefer over the course of a couple months. But I know my why, so I don't feel guilty about it. And then number four, know your values and your family values. So this ties into your why and this ties into your worth, but you have to know your values and you have to know your family values. And so for me, like, I know my values. I know that I am going to push the societal norms and the societal messaging around what a woman can do. That's what I do. I am like, I am here for the conversation around like indoctrination of women's roles and mom guilt and all that stuff. Like, I'm here for all of it. I'm here for conversations around a woman's place in the workplace. I'm here for conversations around like, you know, women having the opportunity to breastfeed at work. I'm here for the conversations around how much money women make compared to men, why women sit at the back of the boardroom, why women start every sentence with the word sorry. I'm here for all of that. So I'm really clear about my values, and my family's really clear about our family values. And so our family values are pretty cut and dry in terms of knowing that what we stand for and what we don't. So my husband and I know that we don't hold each other back from our dreams. If one of us wants to do something, we give each other a ton of space and independence. And so whether this is me doing, you know, going on different trips, whether it's my husband going on trips, I mean, he was gone recently for like a week and a half and I was joking because he like said it was like a work thing, but I was like, let's talk about this. Like, you were at South by Southwest and then you were in Santa Monica on the beach. And yes, it was work related, but I was joking because he was like, oh, it's a work trip. I'm going to be so tired. I was like, dude, you're going to be like having the time of your life. And so, but also it didn't even occur to me to be like, oh, you can't do two trips back to back. No way. Like, I can't parent for, I don't know, 8 days in a row or whatever. The truth was, yes, I can. And I would never say no to him because I know that those things were high value to him. And one of our family values is really around supporting each other in our dreams. We also had to look at this when my husband decided to shut down his business And I decided to keep mine. Again, family values. Our family values were around the fact that, like, we can't both be working all the time. We can't both have fluctuating income. We need a little more stability and predictability now that we have a kid. So what is that going to look like? And he was eager, like, I'll take one for the team. I want the 9 to 5. Like, I want to be able to shut my briefcase. He doesn't have a briefcase. Shut my bag at 5 o'clock and be like, peace out. Shut the laptop. Be done for the day. Whereas I was like, oh my gosh, I could never go back to like corporate 9 to 5 ever, ever, ever. And he was like, I'm more than happy to do it. So our family values were really clear around how can we have better work-life balance in our family if one of us doesn't run a business, because having two of us running businesses was getting to be cumbersome and was getting to be challenging. And it was getting to be just a lot of stress on our family and our relationship and all sorts of things. And that didn't feel right for us. So for our family values and for prioritizing the way we want our family to operate, it made sense for one of us to shift gears. And that was scary. That was a really big move. My husband shut down his business after 17 years. Also, I sold my gym after 15 years just last year. So again, family values. Like, my husband was like, holy cow, you're going to walk away from this business that like has great predictable income. I was like, yep. And so, but family values, he knew that I had a bigger dream inside of me. And he was like, okay, like family values, I'm not going to hold you back from doing this. I trust that you are going to make this work, because every time you say you're going to make something work, you do. And so I didn't feel guilty about selling the gym. He didn't feel guilty about shutting down his business. Even though both of those were risky moves, we didn't have guilt around that because we knew our family values. We knew our personal values. We knew our whys. We both know our worth. And we also recognize the patriarchy for what it is. We recognize like systemic messaging around gender roles and all those kinds of things. And so we try to be really conscientious around doing what works best for us without getting wrapped up in how that compares to other people's life, other people's choices, other people's judgment. So again, how to get over mom guilt, recognize the patriarchy for what it is, recognize the indoctrination, really key. Next, know your worth. Next, know your why. And next, know your values and your family values. I hope this was really helpful. If you know a mom struggling with mom guilt, I want you to send this to them, especially if it's someone who you know, who you just see is like really wanting to take things to the next level in their career or wanting to build out their own. I mean, maybe it doesn't even have to be someone looking for a career change, but maybe a stay-at-home mom who just finds herself like floundering because she feels like she has to play with her kids all day and she's at her wit's end. No, like tell her to get a half day of childcare once or twice a week so that she can go to the gym and do her own thing. Like any mom who just feels guilty because that's the nature of the role of motherhood and that's what we're programmed to feel no matter what, please share this episode with them, because we don't have to live in this social construct. We can choose to move beyond it. It will take some work, yes, but it is possible to move beyond the social construct and to take back the power and get out of the dysregulation and the dysfunction of mom guilt and into something that's much more positive and powerful and productive and purposeful. Thank you for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. It is always a pleasure and a total honor to be in your ear. Please make sure you are subscribed to or following this show on whatever podcast platform you're using. This ensures that you never miss an episode. You can find everything related to the Shameless Mom Academy at shamelessmom.com, and you can inquire about my speaking, consulting, and coaching services, where I help women leaders, small business owners, and organizations build thought leadership and communication confidence over at sarahdean.com. That's Sarah, no H, SARADEAN.com, sarahdean.com. Until next time, know that I appreciate you so, so much, my friend.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.